正言法师，还要感谢僧团，感谢每一位义工啊，使今天这个讲座能够进行举行。今天呢是我这本书翻译这本书《是非要温柔》系列讲座的最后一次了。在翻译这本书的过程当中呢，我深深感受到要珍惜每一个当下，所以我也现在珍惜每一分钟。
So today's talk is mostly about Sherfu's views about the environment. But because this is the last talk and it is summarizing the book in a certain way, I wanted to read what one of Sherfu's disciples, Zhang Suyu, said as a postscript to this book. So, Zhang said, Master Sheng Yan, always ill, thin, and weak, height 172 centimeters, weight 48 kilograms, is still spreading the Dharma everywhere. Remember, this is written approximately 1996. His ultimate goal is to uplift the character of humankind and establish a pure land on earth. Master Sheng Yan, one could say, is a spiritual navigator. For the past 10 years, he has devoted himself to the movement of spiritual environmental protection and decency's environmental protection in the hope of spurring on the purification of social conduct. Master Sheng Yan points out that if you want to brighten the character of humankind, then you must first start with yourself before you move on to help other people improve their character. Improving humankind's character consists in reducing the mind of gain and loss towards others and towards yourself, reducing the mind of arrogance. Reduce the selfish mind. Increase the mind of modesty. Increase the mind of compassion. Increase the mind of loving concern. This is to experience the foundation of Buddha Dharma.
既然今天是最后一次讲座呢，我这个讲座主要是根据师父的书《是非要温柔》来讲的。那么今天呢，话题主要是围绕师父讲的心灵环保这个主题来讲。那么首先，我想可能比较合适的是引用师父的一位在家弟子庄素玉菩萨写的一个后记当中对师父的描述，他写道。圣严法师呢，常在病中，身体瘦弱，身高172公分，体重48公斤，这篇后记是写于1996年，圣严法师人四处弘法，最主要的目的是要提升人的品质，建设人间净土。圣严法师可以说是心灵的领航员，数十年来致力于心灵环保以及礼仪环保运动，希望带动社会风气的全面净化。圣严法师指出，要提升人的品质，应先从自己开始，进而再帮助他人提升品质。提升人的品质，就是对人对己少一点得失心，少一点傲慢心，少一点自私心，多一份谦虚心，多一份慈悲心，多一份关怀的心，就已经体验到了基础的佛法。
When Master Sheng Yan talks about the environment, he's of course talking about both physical and spiritual environments. And so that it's good to keep that in mind as you listen to the talk today. And we'll come back to, towards the end, actually defining what Sherfu means by spiritual environmentalism. So first, I'm going to talk about the everyday condition of humankind as he speaks about it in the gentle approach.
今天这个讲座主要是讲到师父的环保的观念。当然他讲的环保有两种意义，一个是我们世俗意义讲的环境上的环保，还有一个是心灵环保。待会儿我会在最后的时候来对这个心灵环保下一个定义，他师父到底说的心灵环保是什么意思。那么首先呢，我们要先开师父先从我们现在所处世界这个环境的情况开始讲起。
So in the chapter, at ease with self, at ease with others, a happy and peaceful world, Sherfu writes, as long as we live on this earth, there is no way that we can avoid natural and man-made danger and calamities. In primeval ages, mankind not only suffered from the dangers of science and technology. Mankind may not have suffered from the dangers of science and technology, but there certainly were floods, poisonous snakes, and fearsome beasts. Living in such an environment, humans were not in contention with nature. They adapted and improved themselves.
在师父书中《安己安人安乐世界》一章中讲到，只要我们活在地球一天，就不可能避免天灾人祸的危险。在原始时代的人类，虽然没有现代科技所造成的灾难，但是在那个时候也有洪水、毒蛇、猛兽等危险。在这种环境下，人与自然是要彼此适应、改善，而不是斗争。
So in antiquity, as we said, there were floods, fires, windstorms, droughts, insect plagues, plant diseases, and pestilent insects. We have them today too. They can occur in any era. There may be no great swarms of locusts plaguing us today, but new threats from insects have emerged. So people use a great quantity of pesticides and chemicals, and the more they use, the greater the resistance the insects develop.Get rid of one kind of insects and another one pops up. The more chemicals that are used, the greater the immunity the insect develops. These methods may kill the insects, but the chemicals cause great harm to people too.
水灾、火灾、风灾、旱灾、虫灾、植物病虫害在古代有，现代也有，任何时代都会有。过去可怕的蝗虫过境现在没有了，可是却有新的害虫。因此现在的人用很多农药，结果农药用的越多，虫的抗药能力也越强。一种虫被消灭了，另一种虫又出现了。越是被施用农药，它们又有免疫力，而且农药用太多，虫虽然杀死了，但是人体也受到了更大的伤害。
I want to point out also how topical all of these topics are that we're going to be talking about today.Because there are people who, you know, there are climate change deniers and people who don't see any problems with pollution. And even though this is written 20 years ago, Sherfu was very prescient in seeing what was going to be happening in the world.
像这边我特别要提到的是像现在气候变暖啊污染啊等等的问题虽然现在还有人不承认气候变暖污染等等环境问题但是师父在20年前已经看到了这些问题将会存在
So our population continues to grow and illnesses and disasters continue to increase A great many people envisage some kind of doomsday scenarioExactly, what was it like for people living in the 100 years preceding the 20th century, or our century now? Were there no natural or man-made disasters back then? Of course there were. As today's science and technology continues to develop, it appears that there are more safeguards for our security and well-being than there were before. But science and technology are not always reliable.What guarantees do we really have? Such questions merit deep reflection.
现在世界上人口越来越多，人类的疾病与灾害也越来越多。很多人担心这似乎是世界末日的景象。在20世纪初，也就是100年前记载人类的生活究竟是什么样子？那个时代就没有天灾人祸吗？当然还是有的。现在的科技越发达，好像人类所得到的安全保障越多。其实人类的安全永远不可能依赖科技的力量。是不是科技越发达，人类所得到的保障越多呢？这是值得思考的问题。
So remember that this book was written for a Taiwanese audience in Taiwan, and it was published in a Taiwanese magazine. So Sherfu is often addressing very questions that are specific.To the Chinese people. So he writes, Chinese people say, we are the masters of our own fate, which means that your heart and mind can be settled and at peace, and that your strength outmatches heaven's. This is because when your heart and mind are at rest, you can be in harmony and concordance with nature, attuned to the environment, and able to succeed in your endeavors. When heart and mind are out of sync with nature, conflict ensues. Many people believe that the next century, and of course Shifu meant this century and centuries ensuing, will bring many perils. So people are very apprehensive. We don't want to adopt such thinking. Shifu is very clear about this. We want to do our utmost in accord with the mandate of heaven. The Buddhist way of expressing this is that we want to facilitate good causes and conditions and accept causes and consequences.
嗯，这本《师父是非要温柔》这本书呢，是当时是写给台湾的，嗯，台湾的群众的，所以也是发表在台湾杂志上的。所以他当时就在一章当中提到了，中国人所说的“人定胜天”，意思是说，人心若能安定，人的力量就比天的力量还大。因为人心安定时是跟自然的和谐相应的，人心和自然相应时，就能够顺应环境而成功。若人心和自然不合时，就会产生冲突。在世纪之交替时，很多人觉得危险好像特别多，因此很焦虑。不要这样想，人要尽人事才能顺天命。从佛教的角度来讲，便是促成因缘，接受因果。
We need to put our efforts in settling and calming the mind. And of course, remember that much of Shifu's life was devoted to teaching Chan methods and explicating the sutras so that we could learn how to calm and settle our minds. So with mind stable and calm, aware of our living in the environment, we as human beings will cause fewer calamities. If we are not at peace in our hearts, then crimes proliferate, robberies, brutality, kidnappings, arson, and murder. All this occurs when we are not at peace, and this causes behavior that is out of control.
要有人性的安定来着手，人心安定，人心平安。在我们的环境中，至少有人类自己制造的灾祸会少一些。人心不安定时，制造出来罪行则会多一些，如抢劫、强暴、绑票、杀人、纵火，都是因为人心不平安所造成行为的失控。
So why are our minds not settled and at peace? There are many factors. We cannot say that certain people have inborn natures that make them very likely to rebel, or that certain persons were persecuted and compelled into a life of crime. From a Buddha Dharma perspective, such outcomes are facilitated by causes and conditions. For example, take two brothers from the same family, and fortune has it that one becomes a bandit, the other becomes a religious teacher. Undoubtedly, their family upbringing was important, but the good or bad in children doesn't necessarily stem from their parents' influence. If we can make causes and conditions relatively well balanced and thus make the world comparatively calm and stable, then there will be fewer man-made and natural disasters.
人心为何不平安呢？因素很多。我们不能够说某些人天生就是喜欢叛逆，或者说某一些人是受迫害而被迫犯罪。从佛法来说，是各种因缘把它促成的。例如同一个家庭的两个兄弟，有可能一个做强盗，一个却做宗教师。父母的家教固然重要，儿女的好坏也未必仅有父母影响。如果说各方面的因缘都能够比较平衡，那我们的世界就会比较安定，天灾人祸就会比较少一些。
There are many causes of natural and man-made disasters. In addition to issues of the human mind that causes calamities, there are also factors that are not related to human intervention. If you believe that human wisdom can control the world and prevent catastrophe, that's not a bad mode of thinking. But unfortunately, it's an unreachable goal. We can't make the world do what we want with our minds. Let's say a great fire breaks out in a forest. At least human malevolence didn't cause it. If it's a small-scale fire, people can rush to put it out. If it's a fire on a grand scale, on the other hand, you'll have to wait for the heavens to open up and extinguish it. But if the climate is dry and it hasn't rained for a long time, you're out of luck.
天灾人祸多的原因，除了人心的问题外，还有非人类可以决定的因素。如果认为可以用人的智慧来控制这个世界，这种想法不是不好，只可惜是永远达不成的目标。 比如说森林发生大火，至少并不是人类刻意纵火。如果火势的规模小，可以人力抢救，规模太大，则只有等待下一场倾盆大雨将火浇灭。但如果天气干燥，久久不雨，便没有办法了。
So Schiffer wants us to be clear about natural and man-made disasters and to what extent we influence them. So natural disasters in particular are created by ecological changes in the world today. Rainforest reduction, ozone layer damage, and global warming all affect the ecological balance of our planet. Factors responsible for natural and man-made disasters are complex, so we don't have to be so hypersensitive about these occurrences. When we face natural and man-made calamities, what we can do is keep our minds calm and clear. Let's keep ourselves good-natured and even-tempered so that people get along with nature and people get along with other people. Let's be content with what and who we are and not go it alone or compete against nature and other people. Then we can reduce both natural and man-made disasters to some extent.
在这里师父区分了天灾人祸以及人对这些我们人对天灾人祸之产生的影响。天灾可能是天然的，也有可能是人为的，尤其是现代自然生态的改变所造成的天灾，例如由于热带雨林减少，太空中臭氧层遭到破坏，导致全球变暖，都会影响地球上生态的失衡。天灾人祸的因素很复杂，所以大家也不用太神经敏感，草木皆兵。面对天灾人祸时，人能够做得到的还是让人心安定，自己要能够心平气和，人与人之间，人与自然之间要和谐相处，乐天知命，而不是专门去和他人抢夺，和自然抢夺，这个世界便会减少很多天灾人祸。
So, if your mind and heart are in disequilibrium, and you fight every day, rob and plunder, and are always filled with greed, you'll never be satisfied. The consequences of such behavior are that men and women will fight against heaven, and they will fight amongst themselves. And once again, fighting against heaven means going against the natural order. Husband and wife will quarrel.Kindred will slaughter one another. People remake nature for their own benefit, and they end up destroying nature. People want to change other people, and they end up harming one another, no matter what their ideas were in the first place. To find peace of mind, people must work on themselves before they try to bring peace to others. Then the peace and stability of a small number of people transformsinto the peace and stability of many people. This concerns prominent religious figures, statesmen, scientists, and each of us. It doesn't matter if you are a person of importance or a nobody. Bring peace to your own mind, and you can relax your body. With a relaxed and peaceful mind and body, you can bring peace to your family, your job, society, the nation,the entire world. In other words, it's a very good thing for everyone.
如果人心不平衡，天天在争取、抢夺、贪得无厌、永不满足，结果造成人与天争、人与人争、夫妻相争、骨肉相残。人要改变自然，从自然中取得利益，结果破坏了自然。人要改变他人，其实损害了他人。人心的安定，必先从个人自己做起，然后才能安定他人的心。由少数人的安定变成多数人的安定，这和宗教有关，也和政治家、科学家有关，跟每一个人都有关。不论你是大人物或是小人物，安心才能安身，安身才能安家、安业，才能安定社会、国家，乃至安定整个世界。
So in a chapter that's entitled The Way to Maintain a Peaceful Mind is to Pursue Your Efficiency and Productivity, and not really going to go into it in this talk, but elsewhere in the book, Shifu makes it very clear that Buddhism is about being active and helpful and not hiding behind spirituality. You can translate.
在下一章标题中，师父是讲到追求效率中的安心之道。从这个标题我们可以看出，佛教并不是教世人逃避责任的一种宗教，它其实是非常入世的，积极向上，帮助他人的一种宗教。
So Sherfu writes, people live today longer than the people of antiquity. From morning until night.We take walks, read books, write essays, and we produce and manufacture much more than our ancestors. Nevertheless, we feel there's not enough time to accomplish what we want. People today have a multiplicity of very helpful and convenient tools, smartphones and toaster ovens. Right? But the fast-paced life enabled by these conveniences make us very nervous.Not only does this cause a great deal of worry, but we vex the people we interrelate with, as well as the environment. The sense of space that people have today is also different from that of the ancients. People in the past could not easily read countless books or travel long distances. Now we can travel by air and cross thousands of miles in no time at all.Compared to our ancestors, we have access to greater space and territory, and our lifespans are much longer. But the stress of modern life is far weightier.
现代人的寿命比古人要长，一天走的路、看的书、写的文章，一天的任何生产都比过去增加很多。不过还是觉得时间不够分配，不够使用。现代人所用的各式各样工具也都非常便利。速度却变得让人非常紧张，不仅为自己带来许多烦恼，也为周遭的环境及相关的人带来困扰。现代人的空间感与古人也不一样，过去的人读万卷书、行万里路是很不容易的事，现代人搭乘飞机几千里路、几万里路一下子就到了。虽然个人的伸展空间比过去宽广，生活生存的范围也比过去大，压迫感紧迫感却比过去沉重了许多。
So in the next section, Sherfu is referring to a poem by Tao Yuanming, a 4th century AD Chinese poet. And actually, I wasn't going to read the poem, but I've decided I will. I'll read it. It's very short, and just it'll give some sense of the kind of feeling and nostalgia, if you will, that Sherfu's trying to evoke when he talks in the next paragraph. So Tao Yuan's poem says, I built a house dwelling among people, but there are no sounds of horse or carriage. You ask how this can be. I tend towards the distant places of my mind. Picking chrysanthemums by the eastern fence, carefree and happy gazing at southern mountain. Mountain air is lovely by day or night. Birds fly back and forth together in the distance.Within all this is true meaning. I seek to identify it, but have already forgotten the words.
接下来的一段呢，师父讲引用了晋朝陶渊明的一首诗。我本来并不想把这个诗在这边念一遍，但是我想还是念一下，因为这显示了一种师父的怀旧之情。那是陶渊明的《饮酒诗之五》。结庐在人境，而无车马喧。问君何能尔，心远地自偏。采菊东篱下，悠然见南山。山气日夕佳，飞鸟相与还。此中有真意，欲辨已忘言。
So Tao Yuan Ming lived in a very lovely world. So Sherfu writes, people of the past.Tilled the land. Looking up at the distant mountains, they smiled. With open heart and mind, they said, picking some chrysanthemums by the eastern fence, looking up at southern mountain, unrestrained and at ease. So that's what Sherfu was referring to in the poem. People today may have homes that are full of flowers, but they lack knowledge of nature and the joy and freedom that comes from experiencing the natural world.They don't really smell the flowers necessarily. So it was humankind's wisdom that created the civilization in which we live and so improved our eating habits, hygiene, and medical treatment. But has all of this science and technology and medical equipment really made us feel completely happy?
我们看起来陶渊明生活在一个很让人生活着他的生活是很让人向往很羡慕的一种像过去的人种种田抬头一望远山含笑心旷神怡所以说是采菊东篱下悠然见南山采几多篱笆边的花抬头看看南山非常的悠闲自在愉快现代人即使在家里种满了花却少了那份对自然的认知和从自然环境中体验到的自在与乐趣估计他们也没有时间来闻一闻花香人类的智慧创造了文明的社会改善了饮食的习惯和卫生也改善了医疗的环境但是这些科技医疗设备所带来的便利真的能够让现代人完完全全地感受到幸福吗
In the past, most disasters were natural. Today, many disasters are man-made. Air temperature, wind, and rain were not affected by human activity, but now, temperature changes have a lot to do with human interference. Take the damage to the ozone layer as an example. Much of what we have put in place, science and technology, was supposed to help us improve the environment. But the results have been a little like trying to ride on the back of a tiger. The further we progress, the greater the danger, and our sense of security is diminished. Therefore, the more we endanger ourselves in pursuit of security, the more we are compelled to pursue security. But our actual level of security plummets. This isn't pessimistic, this is real.
过去的灾害大都是天然的，现在的灾害则有很多是人为的。过去的气温、风和雨跟人没有关系。现在的冷热变化却跟人为的干扰有很大的关系譬如臭氧层的破坏制度科技原来是帮助我们改善环境的结果却让我们现在好像骑虎难下越往前走危险越多安全感越少因为安全感越来越少所以越拼命地追求安全越追求安全安全的程度越低这不是悲哀而是这不是悲观而是事实
We're busy all day long, and our sense of tranquility and security continues to decrease. It's very easy to be worried and depressed when there is pressure all the time and everywhere. Why do we lack a sense of security? It's not because we lack food, police, institutions, or laws. It's because our bodies and our minds are out of balance. So many people are unhappy in the dark and have no idea of why they are here in the world.These are vexations. How can we, in contemporary society, bring our minds into balance, lessen our vexations, and live life comfortably and at ease? The most important thing is to settle the mind.
现代人终日忙碌，对生活环境的宁静感和安全感越来越少，很容易就觉得烦闷、困扰，随时随地都承受着压力，缺乏安全感。原因何在呢？不是没有饭吃。没有警察没有制度更不是没有法令而是失去了身心的平衡许多人过得很不快乐过得茫茫然不知道为什么要活在这个世界上这就是烦恼如何在现代这个社会让自己的心理平衡减少一些烦恼生活的轻松自在首先就要安心
So Sherfu is just emphasizing a foundational Buddhist principle that the mind is the initiator of everything. So he goes on to say, if loss is inevitable, rest your mind and just allow yourself to lose what you're going to lose. In other words, really assess the situation and accept it. So how can you settle your mind? The first thing is to be content with what you have and then you will always be happy. This may be an old saying, but it's still very useful today.Actually, our needs are few and our wants and wishes are too numerous. And because of this, we make ourselves busy and nervous and we feel stressed out. Really, if we do our utmost and what we put into life is what we'll get out of it. And this understanding can bring some happiness.
在这里师父反复强调的安心的重要性。他说要如何安心呢第一要知足常乐知足常乐虽然古人说的是古人说的但今天还是很有用处的 啊，这里师父是讲你要对现有的状况有一定的认识，然后要接受它。事实上，人需要的东西不多，但想要的东西太多，因而造成自己的忙碌、紧张，给自己带来很多的压迫感。其实我们只要尽自己的力，结果能过什么样的生活就过什么样的生活，能够得到多少就得到多少，就会快乐一点。
Now this is not to say that you shouldn't want what you ought to have, or you ought not to have gotten it in the first place. But clearly know what you can't get at present, and don't insist that you can have it. Being content with your current situation doesn't just mean abandoning your right to survive, or abandoning your responsibilities at work, and it doesn't mean throwing away the opportunity to work hard to advance yourself.But it means to follow the natural course of things, adapt to society, and cope with the environment. In that way, your life will not be one of helplessness or great suffering.
这不是说应该得到的不要，而是不应该得到的，或者明明知道目前得不到的，就不要执着一定要拥有。知足并不等于放弃生存的权利，也不等于放弃工作的责任，更不等于放弃努力进步的机会。而是顺应自然，顺应社会，因应所处的环境，那么生活大概不会有太多的无奈和痛苦。
Second, look not outside of your mind, but into your mind. A very important point Shrifu makes. If the mind is constantly directed outward, then we won't have a feeling of security, because safety and security don't lie outside the mind.External time and space absolutely cannot guarantee our security. Let's say you're going on a trip and you're worried about getting into a traffic accident. You go out and you buy insurance. Does this really make you feel safe? No. You know that you won't be safe, so you need some kind of insurance. These are the misgivings you have about unforeseen circumstances. With insurance, you have some coverage for medical experience,Or in the unfortunate event of your death, your family can get the insurance money so they won't fall into distressed circumstances. But you really cannot prevent unforeseen events.
第二，心要向内看，不要向外看。这里师父指出了非常重要的一点。心总是向外看，就不会有安全感，因为安全不在心外。外在的时空不可能有绝对安全的保障。譬如要外出旅游时，担心发生交通事故而去买保险，这样就安全了吗？因为知道不安全，才需要有各种的保险。这时顾虑一旦遭遇意外，可以得到医疗的补偿。万一不幸死亡，家属也能得到保险金，不至于陷入困顿，但并不能真正防止意外的发生。
So actually,You should live your life in a simple, down-to-earth manner by cultivating your merits and blessings. The only way to seek your fortune is to dwell in peace, yet be aware of danger. You maintain a state of mind that is completely prepared by accepting the fact that troubling events are a fact and can happen any time. With this mindset, you won't be at a loss when something untoward happens.You shouldn't count on circumstances being safe and secure, but you also, shouldn't count on other people coming to your rescue. And of course, that doesn't mean that terrible things are certain to happen. Only seek the safety that lies within your mind. That safety is more dependable than you can find in the outside world. If you can always, dwell peacefully here and now, then it will be easier for you to keep your mind stable and dependable.
其实生活要踏实，唯有自求多福。自求多福就是居安思危，随时做好心理准备，接受发生不安全的事是正常的这项事实。一旦发生了，也不至于手足无措。不要指望我们的环境会给我们安全，也不要指望他人来保障我们。唯有自我追求内心的平安，比向外追求安全更可靠。若能时时刻刻安住于现在的时间与空间，我们的心就更容易安定踏实。
Okay, I want to clarify one thing that Shrifu said about seeking safety in your own mind, because I think this can really be misunderstood. You could hear a phrase like that And you can conclude that, well, all right, safety in my own mind. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get addicted to Star Wars or Harry Potter or some television show or drugs for that matter. Because once again, those are activities in the mind. But that's not what Sherpa was talking about. Sherpa was talking about true mind, which is at one with reality and not pushing things away or trying to get things that don't exist, whether those things are inside or outside the mind. So this seeking safety in the mind is becoming aware of the true mind and our true nature.
在这里我想特别解释一下师父讲的唯有自我追求内心的平安才是更可靠的。在这里师父所说的追求内心的平安并不是像一些人想象的是不是让我们的心整天想着星球大战啊哈利波特啊让我们的心整天沉浸于这些电影或者比较吸引人的故事书当中。并不是这样的。他这里所讲到的内心的平安应该是说与真心和实相相关的，也就是说完全将自己的心处在不抗拒外在环境的变化当中，而是时刻的觉察自己的起心动念，觉察这个外在的环境，时刻与实相相应，这样一种内心的平安。
So seek to replenish and fulfill your heart and inner being. So the third point that Sherpa brings up here is the heart seeks sustenance. It is not sustained by money, status, fame, or anything that can be sought externally. But it is something created within your own mind, like interests that you pursue, or faith in something. With interests or faith, no matter the time or space, your mind will be relatively unflustered and you will not feel that you are helpless or have run out of alternative. Interests or hobbies can be fostered or developed. And I think it's wonderful that Sherpa talks about things like this, which we might think are trivial, but he does qualify them. So if you have an interest in literature, the arts, or sports, you can select a relatively appropriate project to pursue so that your particular interest can be developed. Pursuing an interest when you feel useless or have idle time can let you rest your mind and let you be free from anxiety. Just in case you reach a point where you are penniless, then you will still have this interest to sustain you.
第三点，师父讲到，心中要有所寄托，这个寄托不是金钱、地位、名望等向外追求的东西，而是由自己内心创造出来的，譬如兴趣和信仰。如果有兴趣或信仰，不管任何时候，心比较不会浮动，也不会觉得无奈无助。兴趣是可以培养的，例如文学、艺术、运动等，选择和自己比较契合的项目，任何一个兴趣都可能被培养起来。兴趣可以让自己在无事的时候、无助的时候，心灵变得安定，过得舒服踏实。万一真的一无所有，自己的兴趣还在。
Hunting for antiques, collecting stamps or coins, etc. These may be called interests or hobbies, but they can certainly be satisfying. When you collect these objects, you can feel very happy. But once you own them, you want to have more.So you can be left with a mind filled with greed and be forever unsatisfied, and you will be unable to achieve the happiness and joy of a stable and calm mind. Interests don't have to be tangible things, of course. For example, doing volunteer work, helping the needy, doing laundry, sweeping the bathroom, or cleaning up around the house. These pursuits are not about what is external, and they contribute to your own sense of satisfaction and fulfillment.Cultivating altruistic interests can be of great assistance in stabilizing and calming the mind.
收集古董、邮票、硬币、钱币，虽也可以被视为兴趣，但这种兴趣是占有的满足。拥有的时候觉得很快乐，拥有之后又想要更多，内心变得贪得无厌，永远无法满足，也不能从中获得安定的喜悦。兴趣不一定是有形的东西，比如利用闲暇时间当义工，去帮助需要帮助的人，洗洗衣服，打扫厕所，清理环境，这都不是向外追求， 而是奉献自己来寻求内心的满足和充实。像这种助人的兴趣培养起来，对心的安定会有很大的帮助。
Moving from the sustenance of the heart provided by interests, there is the sustenance provided by faith, especially religious faith. Regardless of what faith we speak about, they all belong to the categories of what we understand as ultimate reality. People with religious beliefs will not be confounded by fear or death or danger. Some people who believe in God take it that all things transpire according to God's plan. So if luck turns against them, they see no use in worrying about it. Now, a Buddhist will recognize that he or she is receiving retribution according to causes and conditions. Causes and consequences, in other words, karma, is not turning against them. There's no need to feel anxious because fundamentally there's no problem. If the wheel is turning against me, what use is anxiety? Why be anxious? Now, in regard to death, a believer in God has a very good commentary. I'll be returning to heaven. The Buddhist commentary is also very good. I'll be going to the Western paradise for my future life. So people with religious beliefs can reduce a great many risks, fears, and troubled and uncertain feelings.
另外一种寄托是信仰，尤其是宗教的信仰。不管信仰什么宗教，都能作为我们最终的、最实际的归属。有宗教信仰的人，对于死亡、危险，不会有莫名其妙的恐惧。譬如信仰神的人，认为一切都是神的安排，轮到自己倒霉时，再怎么担心也没有用。如果信仰佛教，则认为这是因缘果报，因果没有轮到我，我不需要担心，因为根本没有事。如果轮到我，担心也没有用，又何必担心？对于死亡，信仰神的人说很好，可以回归天国；信仰佛教的人也说很好，可以往生西方极乐世界。因此，有宗教信仰的人可以减少很多危险、恐惧和不安的情绪。
But the creation and development of a grand philosophy and a way of life centered around Confucius is in itself enough to face life's difficulties. I think Sherfu is paying a certain tribute to Confucius and his importance in Chinese culture. And it doesn't matter if there's no strong religious belief because Confucius himself is a religion. But people who haven't reached the level of Confucius still need religious belief to get some relief from their vexations.
在中国人的环境里，因为儒家背景的关系，对于宗教信仰比较淡漠一点。但是能培养出像孔子那样伟大的思想修养，没有宗教信仰也没有关系，它本身就是一个宗教。如果尚未到达那个层次，人还是需要宗教信仰，让我们能够减少一点烦恼。在这里，师父对儒家孔子还是比较赞叹的。
So in this next section, the last part of the talk, Sherfu is really concentrating on the physical environmental problems. But once again, as I said, I will talk about spiritual environmentalism. So Sherfu writes, know your blessings, moderate the enjoyment of what you've been given. This creates a beneficial environment.
接下来一个章节呢，师父又回到了我们生活中的环保，生活环保的问题。当然他也会引申到心灵环保。师父讲到了要如何要知福惜福做环保。
So, apart from a few people whom I fear do not connect the concept and the term environmental protection or environmentalism or any word that describes trying to help and protect the environment. Anyone who's doesn't connect that term with the actual physical reality and is totally aware of it. There are people like that. But he says most people are familiar with the term environmental protection and they know that the survival of the environment is a big problem. Exposed to a variety of news reports, we know that Taiwan's pollution is very serious and our environment is continuing to degrade. Man-made development has caused serious destruction of our natural environment, and people's pursuit of pleasure has caused severe pollution. And I just want to add, of course, Sherpa was talking about Taiwan here and specifically about problems in Taiwan. But I think most people would agree that a lot of the issues that he's raising are issues that are experienced around the world and even here in America.
师父写道，除了少数的人恐怕连环保这个名词与观念都还没有建立起来之外，多半的人都知道环保这个名词，并且知道我们生存的环境已经有了问题。透过这种各类的讯息，我们知道台湾的环境污染非常严重，生活环境的品质也越来越差，人为的开发使得自然环境受到严重的破坏，人为的享受使得生活环境受到严重的污染。虽然这本书师父当时是针对台湾人写的，但是书中所提到的这种环境污染的问题在全世界都是一样的。
Although people severely criticize the polluted environment, very few people lend a hand or change their lifestyle to improve and reduce the level of pollution. All of us are only concerned about doing the utmost for our own benefit.Or most of us anyway, and we are aware that we may be subject to a disaster, but in the interim, we neglect the problem of pollution and we approve of only what's most convenient for us. For example, let me stop here. Okay.
虽然人们都严厉地批评环境污染的因素，但是几乎没有人真正用自己的手或生活方式来改善或者减少对环境的污染。大家只知道尽量想办法来使自己便利，或许自己会因此而受到灾难，但是一时间也不愿意想这个问题，只想到便利就好。
Okay, so let's talk about inappropriate agricultural and livestock development. In the past, farmers used natural compost. They weeded naturally and exterminated pests, so they didn't really have any opportunity to pollute the environment.But today's agricultural and livestock methods incorporate pesticides, which create lots of problems, in agricultural and livestock production. The worst pollution comes from the elimination of pig waste, so the most critical water pollutants are agricultural chemicals. The pesticides used when vegetables are planted also cause pollution. The great, richand abundant vegetables and fruit, as well as street vendor pork that we consume, are actually grown and raised in a polluted environment.
师父在这里举了一个例子，比如农牧的不当开发。在过去，种田人用的是天然堆肥、人工除草、驱虫，不太有可能有机会污染环境。但现在的农牧方式不一样，多使用农药，造成很多麻烦。在农牧当中，最大的污染源来自于养猪户所清除的污物，而水资源最严重的污染就是农药。种菜时所用的农药对土地也是一种污染。我们现在吃到的一些肥美硕大的蔬菜水果，街上买到的一些猪肉，实际上都是从污染的环境当中开发出来的产品。
So once again, talking about actually doing something about the problem, Sherpa writes, manufacturing and industrial output must facilitate environmental protection.Otherwise, factories will discharge wastewater that has not been processed by sewage treatment plants, and that will pollute our rivers. And planting produce with pesticides will likewise pollute our water, sources. In the past, there were numerous ditches, streams, and rivers where many wild fish and shrimp thrived. But now, little by little, you don't see them anymore.There are still some vegetarians who are very happy to eat seaweed and algae, but the yield from these plants keeps decreasing. In addition, they are subject to pollution and may contain toxins, so it's very possible that vegetarians may be eating tainted food.
在这里师父讲到，工商业的生产一定要有环保设施，不然工厂排出了未经过污染处理的废水，就会污染河川。而种植农产品所使用的农药也同样会污染水资源。过去许多川西河内有许多野生的鱼虾，现在渐渐都看不到了。还有吃素的人很喜欢吃的海边生产的海藻类，现在的产量不仅越来越少，而且也受到了污染，可能还含有毒素。吃素的人也有可能因此吃进了有毒的食品。
I realize that some of this is not that easy to listen to, but right, this is not the kind of material that gets us, to jump up and start dancing. But it is part of reality, and this is what Scherf was writing about. So it seems that given this situation, people are always aware of the need to protect the environment, but they don't know how to begin doing anything about it. The daily waste situation is extremely serious. For example, the use of plastic bags. You'll all love this. We buy just a few things and stick them in a plastic bag and take them home. Of course, plastic bags are very convenient, but they never decompose. And when they are burned, they produce toxic gases, which pollute the environment. In the past, people used newspaper or plant leaves from sweet potatoes or other plants to pack things up. So there was never a question of pollution. The amount of garbage that every produces now is staggering. Things that were never used or that have gone bad are just thrown out, and they turn right into garbage. And garbage that is tossed away becomes a source of pollution. When new products are used for a short period, they're just thrown out, and they become environmental polluting garbage. In the past, garbage became compost and nourished crops. Now garbage is filled with products made from synthetic resins that won't decompose for 10,000 years, and they contain chemicals that are very harmful to crops. This is a bundle of laughs. Okay.
我意识到师父讲到的这些问题啊，都是不是很容易让大家接受，就是大家都不愿意听到这些话题，但是呢，这又是我们现在的现实，生活现实就是这样子，我们又不得不面对这些问题。像这种情形，人们尽管也知道要保护环境，但就是不知道如何由自己做起，在日常生活中浪费的情况也非常严重。比如说塑胶袋的使用，几块钱买几块钱的东西就要买一个塑料袋，甚至多拿几个带回家用。塑料袋固然很方便，可是它永远不会腐烂，燃烧时还会产生毒气，污染我们的生活环境。在过去都是用报纸或者是用芋头、美人蕉等植物的叶子来包装物品，根本不会有污染的问题。每个家庭的垃圾制造量也非常可观，东西并没有完全用尽和用坏就把它丢弃，于是变成了垃圾。垃圾一丢出来就变成了污染源，一有新产品出来，稍微旧一点的用品就把它丢了，这些旧物品也就变成了污染环境的垃圾。过去的垃圾可以变成堆肥滋养农作物，而现在的垃圾有很多都是万年不化的塑胶产品，而且有很多的化学物质，就会伤害农作物。
Okay, this next section is entitled, "With Each Bowl of Rice Gruel, Recall That It Was Not Easy to Produce." So when I was growing up in Taiwan, Scherfu writes, the transportation that most of us use consisted of bicycles, pedicabs, and hand-pulled carts for delivering goods. That's nothing like today's transportation, cars, trains, etc., so that now we have air pollution problems because of the use of gasoline. To deal with the summer heat, people use various kinds of manual fans that were made out of leaves or decorated ornately, and sometimes electric fans. Because of this, there was no release of hot vapors from air conditioners, so there were no refrigerants like Freon to destroy the ozone layer in the atmosphere. In those days, when your clothing was torn, it could be mended and still worn. What a first child wore could be passed down to the second child and third child. A current saying at the time was, 3 years new, 3 years old, sew and mend, and you've got another 3 years. In Zhu Boluo's Maxim for Managing the Home, it's a Chinese classic, it says, when you eat a bowl of rice gruel, recall that it was not easy to produce. So I tell my disciples to never waste anything arbitrarily. This even applies to food that is going bad and starting to smell. Wash it well, dry it in the sun, cook and eat. Your stomach and intestines will never know the difference, and all will be well.
接下来师父讲到，一粥一饭，当思来之不易。师父讲到，在我年轻时期的台湾，一般人所使用的交通工具是脚踏车、三轮车，运送货物则用板车、牛车，所以不会像现在的交通工具如汽车、机车一样，因为使用汽油的缘故而有空气污染的问题。 夏天为了驱散暑气，最常用的就是蒲扇，奢侈一点的也对是用电扇而已，因此不会有冷气机所排放出来的热气，当然也没有冷媒之类的东西来破坏大气层。那时衣服破了补一补还可以再穿，第一个孩子的童装可以给第二个乃至第三个孩子再穿。当时盛行的一句话是新三年旧三年，缝缝补补又三年。而且对于食物也格外珍惜，常以朱子家训的格言一粥一饭当思来处不易来告诫子弟不能随意糟蹋。不仅吃剩的食物不会丢弃，甚至已经发霉发臭的东西洗一洗晒一晒再煮来吃，肠胃照样太平无事。
Continuing to talk about his childhood, Shifu writes, at that time in Taiwan, there was little garbage. You can even say that there was really nothing that was going to become a long-term garbage problem. Today in Taiwan, the garbage grows higher and higher. Each year it increases and it never lessens. Not only is this a waste of natural resources, but it's a growing source of pollution. Because of this, Dharma Drum Mountain devotes a great deal of effort to reducing the waste of natural resources. We never stop recycling, and ultimately we change how things are used. And I think this is quite interesting how detailed Shifu's description is of what they do with food stuff. For example, the water that rice was cooked in can be used to wash bowls and chopsticks and then can be used as irrigation water. Our rice bowls and chopsticks have almost no oil on them. Very little is used when we cook, and we drink the broth after we're finished, so the bowls are quite clean. If there's any grease left, we use the rice water to wash it off. So a bucket of water changes into rice cleaning water. The rice cleaning water changes into bowl cleaning water, and the bowl cleaning water once again changes into irrigation water. Not only are we able to economize our natural resources, but we protect the environment. Plastic bags only show up when lay people bring them to the temple. Otherwise, we have very few of them.
师父接下来继续写道，那个时期的台湾垃圾很少，甚至可以说根本没有任何东西可以变成永久的垃圾。现在的台湾垃圾量却越来越多，每年只有增加没有减少，不仅浪费自然资源也增加污染源。因此法鼓山平时就尽量减少资源浪费，并且不断地重复使用，然后改变方式再利用。比如在这里师父也非常有意思的是，师父详细的给出了指导，就是如何利用这个洗碗水，一水多用。比如洗米水可以洗碗筷，也可以作为灌溉水。我们的碗筷几乎没有油渍，少许的菜油都是和着开水再当做汤汁喝下去，所以碗是干干净净的。如果还有残余一点点油渍，就可以用洗米水洗干净。于是一桶水变成了洗米水，洗米水变成了洗碗水，洗碗水又变成了灌溉水，一物数用，非但能节约资源，同时还能保护环境。此外，除非信众自己带来塑胶袋来到寺里，否则我们很少使用塑料袋。
So know and cherish your blessings, then practice spiritual environmentalism. We should set spiritual environmentalism in motion.And after this paragraph, I'm going to speak about that a little more in depth. Protecting the material environment is a superficial undertaking that does not get at the core of the problem. Spiritual environmentalism begins to work on the root problem of changing the human heart. Only in this way we can make a radical transformation. When we begin to follow spiritual environmentalism, we will be perfectly happy to spontaneously reduce the waste of our natural resources. And we won't just ask other people to do it. Moreover, we'll regard this as something that is enjoyable, not self-sacrificing. And this is what to know and cherish your blessings is all about.It's called spiritual environmentalism because our minds have become polluted, and thereby the environment has become polluted. If our minds are not subject to pollution, then it follows suit that the environment will not be subject to pollution. Because the mind controls the body, Our behavior is intimately connected with the mind. When an individual can change his or her mind, that will change one individual and then one family. And this can spread throughout society. Therefore, the changing of thought patterns is essential.
知福惜福才能做心灵环保。我们应该做好心灵环保。物质环境的保护只能治标不能治本。心灵环保则从人心进化的根本做起。也唯有如此才能正本清源。从心灵的环保做起，我们才会心甘情愿，自发性地减少浪费自然资源，而不会只要求他人该如何，并且会觉得，这是一种享受而不是牺牲。这就是知福惜福。所谓心灵环保，是说，因为我们的心被污染，以至于环境也被污染。假使我们的心不受污染，环境也会跟着不受污染。因为心灵是指挥身体的，我们的行为和心是连在一起的。每一个人心念的改变，就能改变一个人、一个家庭，甚至一个社会。所以，心念的改变才是最重要的。
So I just wanted to clarify a little bit about spiritual environmentalism, because I don't think it's a term that people are very familiar with, and it's not a self-explanatory term. In other words, if you went up to somebody on the street and asked them about it, it sounds like somehow helping the environment improve by meditating. It's not something that's really very clearly understood.
我在这里想特别的澄清和解释一下心灵环保这个用语的师父到底是什么意思，因为他从这个字面意思如果没有详细的解释的话，好像一般的人并不理解。如果你走到大街上对一个人说心灵环保，他可能还以为哦，是不是你通过打坐的方式来让这个环境变得更好。
So a Google search of this term doesn't yield many results. And there is something called spiritual ecology, and that's a term that includes lots of different spiritual and scientific traditions. But it's really about physical environmentalism, but it's pointing to the fact that there's a spiritual component. And there's also this term, the ecology of the mind.But that refers to the works of a sociologist and anthropologist called Gregory Bateson. And I think Sherfu would have liked the term, but it's not really what Sherfu means by spiritual environmentalism.
所以到底是什么意思呢？心灵环保，如果你在用谷歌来搜索一下它的意思的话，你会发现也没有出现师父所讲的那个意思。有一种意思叫是指物质层面的我们对环境的保护，它也有灵性方面的一种属性。还有一个是社会心理学家所用的一个特定的词语，我想师父可能会对这个用词很感兴趣，但它也并不是师父所指的心灵环保的意思。
So the term spiritual environmentalism, it's not an ideology or a political movement per se. And so what I'm going to summarize now is really something taken from Sherfu's book called World of Chan. So Sherfu uses the term to alert us to the true nature of reality. That is the vastness of space. In the vastness of space, we ourselves are very small. That the environment, the world, the universe is part of us, and we are part of them. The universe is an integral part of our bodies. So Sherfu writes that the sutras say that all sentient beings will be and have been our relatives, brothers, sisters, fathers, and mothers. All the minute particles in the infinite universe are where we have relinquished and received life from our karma. So Sherfu points out that this is because of ignorance, because we have expectations and demands about things that are outside of our minds. Mm-hmm.
所以我想在这里用师父另外一本书《禅的世界》里边所解释到的，心灵的环保，就是讲到，师父的意思是说， 人的宇宙和我们的心其实是联系在一起的，我们的宇宙非常的大，而我们人却非常渺小，这是宇宙的一部分。我们的众生其实都是我们的兄弟姐妹，而由于无明，还有由于我们对众生有各种各样的期望，而使我们产生了很多的烦恼和污染。
So Sherpa was interested in helping every person change their personal concepts, beliefs, and habitual patterns. This is clearly not some political or authoritarian plan. These changes that Sherpa speaks of are not about creating or attaching to political, social, or national identities. Quite the opposite.Spiritual environmentalism is about pointing out the karmic effects we create and we are heir to. It is a clear-headed assessment of our actual physical and mental situation. And the tenets of spiritual environmentalism are simply about contentment, lessening the self-centered desires we have, knowing when enough is enough. This in itselfis what Sherpa means by uplifting the character of humanity, which is also a phrase that could be misunderstood as having some sort of agenda or political nature. It's more about abandoning agendas and avaricious politics.
Mm-hmm. 所以师父在这里提到的其实是他的心灵环保是更着重于对人自身的改变，对人的信仰以及他的习性的改变，而并不是说有一个要通过心灵环保达到一个什么政治上的或者是一个权威上的一个宏图或计划。实际上这些师父所讲的这些改变主要是侧重于每一个人心灵上的变化，主要是指出我们的业力是怎样的影响我们。如果我们能够很清晰地看到自己的业力，看到周围的环境，能够知足，这样子就能够减少自我中心和自我的欲望，知道足够就是够了，就是够了，而不是有很多的欲望。那么这也就是师父所谓的提升人的品质，建设人间净土。虽然这个话听起来好像是经常被人误解为有一个什么蓝图啊，或者政治上的以政治性质的蓝图，但实际上更多的是说放弃一种计划，而是更侧重于人本身心灵上的提高。
So spiritual environmentalism is founded upon compassion, which is in turn founded upon, really identical to, wisdom, a non-ego-based perception of and functioning of reality. So spiritual environmentalism is not simply a goal, it is a description of true nature. The outside universe is vast, Sherpa writes, but the inner world is greater. That is why in the Vimalakirti Sutra, when the Buddha is asked,where his pure land is, right, because other Buddhas have pure lands that are associated with him, like the western paradise of Amitabha, the Buddha shows that this world right now, this earth, is his pure land, and he touches the earth with his toe, and all of his disciples see a paradise. And this is how the enlightened mind perceives the world outside and inside of time and space.This, which is the reality body of all the Buddhas.
所以心灵环保是建立在慈悲这个基础上的，慈悲和智慧，而智慧就是是指以无我的观察力，以无我的中心来跟实相相应。那么心灵环保不仅仅是指一个目标，它其实也是对自信的一种描述。因为这外在的环境是非常宽广的，但是师父写道，我们心的世界是更加宽广，比外在世界，比这个宇宙还要宽广。这是因为在维摩诘经当中，当释迦摩尼佛被问到他的净土在哪里的时候，因为好像每个佛都有自己的净土，然后释迦牟尼佛就示现了这个世界，说这个地球不是地球，就是我们这个世间，它所就是它的净土，所以他用手指指了指所在这个世界，用他的脚趾触摸了大地，然后他的 所有的弟子就见到了一个天堂，这就是见到了一个净土，这就是一个开悟者的用开悟者的心来觉察来见到的世界是什么样子的。
I thought it's important to clarify that that subject that Sherpa talks about, spiritual environment, environmentalism. It really comes down to balance, just knowing what's most important.
所以我觉得，在这里我引用师父其他的著作，就是想指出我心灵环保到底师父想讲的是隐身的含义是什么意思。归根结底就是说怎么样平衡这些概念。
All right, so we're getting back to the murky environment. It's not that the environment itself is filthy and dirty, or the plants and minerals surrounding us brought pollution on their own. It is humankind alone that created the filth and the dirt. It's pollution in the spiritual environment, even more than in the material environment, that is the problem.There are a variety of concepts, thoughts, language, writing, symbols, and images that have polluted our spiritual life. And I think what he means by this in many ways is kind of the political discourse and much of the hate and misunderstanding that's in the world. So you could talk about the American dream in the way that we in America are very...oriented to satisfying ourselves. And this is also part of the concepts and thoughts and language that we have inherited and we proliferate. And this is the kind of pollution that Sherpa's talking about. So physical pollution is not far from human behavior, and our behavior is not separate from our mind. Pure minds will absolutely not pollute our environment. So when we talk about environmental pollution, we must get to the root of the problem. And once again, Sherpa reinforces the need for spiritual environmentalism.
所以回到这本书当中，师父所讲的环境的污染，他说环境本身不会制造脏乱。植物矿物也不会为人类的生活环境带来污染，唯有人类才会制造脏乱，不但污染物质环境，更是污染精神环境。从语言、文字、符号、种种形象以及各种思想、观念等，都会为人类的心灵带来创伤和污染。物质环境的污染不离人为，而人为又离不开人的心。如果心清净，我们的物质环境绝对不会受污染。因此讨论环境的污染就必须从根源着手，这也就是我一再强调倡导心灵环保。在这里讲到美国梦，我们西方人美国人也在行为上还知识上各种观念上接受了各种各样的污染。
So Sherpa talks about simplifying our lives, making sure that we arecareful of how we use things and what we do with them, and to be aware that not only do you waste your money when you buy things that you don't need, that you may be also wasting the resources of the planet. So our Earth's natural resources are rapidly being depleted and the population is growing. And Sherpa continues to show us how important that is. And he says if we can't come up with a method to...redeem, purify humankind's spirituality and simplify our worlds, our lives, and we keep plowing on and promoting environmental protection in the same old way, in other words, if we keep repeating the same old patterns, then we're just putting the cart before the horse and talking nonsense.
师父解答环保的问题要彻底解决，必须要从我们日常生活的简单化、淳朴开始。不要多用，更不要浪费。对我们拥有的生活环境，要知福惜福，爱护保护，不要任意浪费破坏。现代人多半浪费成习，尚未用完或者还没用坏就扔掉。虽然是用自己的钱买的，但是浪费了东西，就浪费了地球上全民共同的资源。地球上很多的资源是越来越少，只有人类的数量是越来越多。如果不设法净化人类的心灵，简化人类的生活，而只一味地提倡环保， 啊，那简直是本末倒置，痴人说梦。
So there are limits to our good fortune. If we exhaust our good fortune too early in life, the second half of our life may be less fortunate. It's just like a hungry ghost. There's food, but he can't eat it. There's water, but he can't drink it. Such is karmic retribution. So Buddha Dharma speaks of causes and consequences, rewards and retribution. This is all in the realm of spirituality. I think it's very important that Shifu makes this clear. Causes and conditions refer to the closely linked connection between what we do now and what we reap in the future. So what we're really doing is, what we're doing now is not only affecting our future, but it's affecting the future of the generations to come.
人的福报是有一定限量的，这一生的福报如果提早用完，下半辈子就没有福报了。如同恶鬼，有食物吃不得，有水不能喝，这就是因果报应。佛法讲因果，福报就是心灵的环保。所谓因果，是指我们现在所作所为与将来所得的结果是息息相关的，也许是自己的这一生，也许是下一生，也许是子孙后代，都会受到果报。我们一定要珍惜现有的福报，同时要为来生培养更多的福报。台湾人太幸福了，物质条件非常丰富，而且因为头脑好，也使得物质更丰富，可以更便利的做事，这是台湾人民的福报。但这样的福报也为台湾未来带来灾难，例如水资源立刻就会出现危机。
So Shifu writes, if we don't cherish and conserve what we have today, we may be bequeathing disaster on future generations. And Shifu writes, I'm not trying to be deliberately sensational, but in 20 years, if Taiwan's water is not imported from abroad, it will have to be sourced from desalinated water. And we won't be able to use rainfall because it's acid rain, not suitable for drinking. And rainwater that collects on the ground is of no use either because of the presence of pesticides. Water below the ground is dried up so that this beautiful ocean island of Taiwan, which enjoys frequent rainfall, may turn into a desert.
师父写道，这不是故意危言耸听。二十年后，台湾的饮用水如果不是要由国外进口，就是得将海水变成淡水。而天上降下来的雨是酸雨，不能取用。雨降到地面上，但地面上尽是农药，一样不能用。地下水枯竭，使得台湾这个美丽的海岛虽然常常下雨，却变成了沙漠。因此，如果现在不好好珍惜水资源，保护水资源，二十年后的水还不能喝，这是个大问题。
So Shifu is not sugarcoating his observations. He's saying things that perhaps other people wouldn't. So Shifu goes on to say, because of this, if our very precious natural water resources are not properly appreciated and protected, it's unclear whether or not it will be drinkable in 20 years. If we take a good wide look around us, what we see is garbage. If it's thrown into mountains and valleys, it's still garbage. And there is the garbage that's lost at sea, which is unlikely to float to very distant locations, instead will be washed up on our shores and left on our island, once again polluting the environment. So if we don't promptly come to a full stop and modify our lifestyle and perspective, I believe that in 500 years our planet will become a mountain of garbage. How's that for an image? And everybody will suffer from skin disease. But if we make an immediate turnaround and take care of our environment with everyone committed and working hard, there's no reason why disaster cannot be averted, so that a pure land on earth can be established and it will not be some idle dream. So Shifu is really not a doomsayer.
所以师父继续讲到，在我们的生活环境四周放眼望去尽是垃圾，纵然是弃置于山谷之中也还是垃圾，而丢到海里的垃圾，其中有一些不会漂流到很远的地方去，还是会被海浪冲回岸边，留在我们的岛上，污染我们的环境。所以我们今天如果不及时刹车调整生活观念、生活方式，我相信500年后的地球可能到处都是垃圾山，所有的人类可能会害皮肤病。但是我们若能及时回头爱护环境，人人有心，人人努力，未来的灾祸并非不能挽救， 人间净土也不是梦境一场。所以大家在这里可以看到，师父并不是危言耸听的宿命论者，他还是强调我们人为可以努力的方向。
So, what can be done? So, Sherfu now gives some practical countermeasures on all the things that he's been describing. First, he talks about governmental policy, how it can align with companies and industry, and how there'll be a proportional relationship that can be observed and fostered. And this will strengthen environmental protection and reduce corporate profits a little, and that's something that we can live with. So it's better to let the economy slow a little, and it's definitely better to let environmental protection improve a little. That's the first point.
所以如何解决环境问题呢？师父就提出了一些具体的对策。第一个对策是政府的，在政府层面制定的政策与执行，比如说考虑到环境的保护，我们可能经济政策要放缓一点发展，多加强一些环境的保护，少赚一点钱，这些我们是可以做到的。
Second, in our everyday understanding of how we live our lives, let's cultivate the habits of economizing and moderating the way we enjoy the good fortune that we possess. Just because there's a lot of money to be had, don't risk your life for it. Just because material goods are easy to obtain, recognize that their supply is not inexhaustible and don't squander them. You must understand that the world, that this would create more pollution and waste natural resources. Actually, every day we take our precious natural resources and we defile them into garbage that ruins the sanctity of our environment if we don't follow this kind of economizing.
第二点师父提到，在日常生活观念上，人人要养成节约惜福的习惯，不能因为钱多就拼命用，不要因为物质非常容易取得就认为取之不尽用之不竭而任意挥霍，要知道这是在制造更多的污染和浪费资源。事实上，我们每天都将许多珍贵的自然资源糟蹋成为破坏环境卫生的垃圾。
So our bodies are made of skin, blood, flesh and bone. Our planet is the same. It has blood, flesh and bones. When we use our natural resources, it's like we are removing one bone at a time from the skeletal structure of the earth and taking the lifeblood of our planet, one bucket at a time. Take too much blood and the planet has anemia. Remove all the blood and the planet dies. Then the earth is a lifeless ball with no one living on it. All the more reason to repeat what I often say, the earth is the mother of mankind and of all things. You can suckle milk from your mother, but you can't entirely destroy your mother's body. Willfully wasting the earth's natural resources is like breaking your mother's bones, like draining off her lifeblood, like cutting away the flesh of her body and pulling all of her hair out. Boy, that's quite a relationship with your mother, right? All such behavior speeds your mother to an early grave. Any idea that we could transport natural resources from celestial bodies in space back to the earth is very tenuous at best. So to actualize a pure land on earth, we ought to make an even greater effort to cherish and wisely use our natural resources.
师父写道，人身上有皮肤、血、肉和骨骼，地球也一样，有血、有肉、有骨骼。我们使用的自然资源等于是把地球的骨骼一块块取来用，把血液一桶桶抽来用，抽多了地球会贫血，没有血便会死亡，那时地球会成为一个无生命的无人居住的星球。何况我也常说，地球是人类及一切万物的母亲，可以允许母亲的乳汁，却不可摧毁母亲的身体，任意的浪费自然资源，如同折母亲的骨骼，抽母亲的血液，剃母亲的皮肉，拔母亲的毛发，样样行为都是加速母亲早日死亡。想把外太空或者其他星球的资源运回地球的可能性是很渺茫的。为了人间净土能在地球上实现，我们更应该珍惜并且善用自然资源。
So third, industry and commerce must take up a great deal of the duty and responsibility of improving the environment. For example, reduce the amount of pollution in the manufacturing process. Make sure that the products that the manufacture do not damage the environment and never pollute the environment.
第三点要讲到，工商业界也应该承担起更多的责任和义务来改善环境，例如改善制造过程中要少一些污染，制造出来产品最好也不要破坏环境。
And fourth, in terms of education, teach children from a very young age. Parents must strengthen and reinforce the understanding and necessity of environmental protection. Teach children to love and respect the goods they use and know and appreciate what they are blessed with. Tell children unceasingly that if our great environment is damaged, there will be no place for us to live. We have only one Earth. There's not a second one. We live in Taiwan. There's only one Taiwan, not a second one. If we don't understand what a lifestyle that accords with environmental protection is, then the countries, that are doing a good job environmental protection will look down on us and we will be subject to their sanctions.
第四点师父讲到，在教育方面，父母必须在孩子小的时候就加强孩子对环境保护的知识。教小孩要爱惜物资，知福惜福，应该不断地告诉小孩，大环境被我们破坏之后就没有任何的生存空间了。我们只有一个地球，没有第二个地球。我们住在台湾，只有一个台湾，没有第二个台湾。如果不懂得环保的生活方式，环保做得很好的国家不但会看不起我们，我们也会因此受到制裁。
This next section is, and starting to sum up, is from...about planning for the new year. So Sherfu says that you can set up a goal of having loving care for everyone, and you can join the spiritual echelon of humanity. You can amplify your insight, broaden the breadth of your mind as you bring the entirety of the world into your focus and consideration. With this view of life, you can enjoy the warmth and illumination of life that others cannot attain.An individual's growth and maturity is not simply the amassing of wealth, but should be the growth and maturity of a healthy body and mind, the growth and maturity of virtuous moral character, and the growth and maturity of knowledge. So you can change from a selfish, greedy, angry person, if any of us happen to be that, into someone who is unselfish, generous, and tolerant. But you must make great efforts to embody these traits. In this way, you will help other people grow and mature, and in this process, you will most certainly grow and mature.
在最后一段里边，师父也 是总结了整个一本书的意思，就是讲到新年的立下大愿。他说到，在新的一年里，你可以为自己立下一个关怀大众、属于精神层次的人生目标，要把眼光放大，心胸放宽，为整体大众设想考量。即使有这种人生观，就会享受到其他人享受不到的生命的光和热。一个人的成长不一定光是财富的成长，更应该是身心健康的成长、道德人品的成长、知见观念的成长。你这个人如果本来是自私、贪婪、嗔怒，要变成无私的、奉献的、宽容的。为了无私，你必须努力；为了奉献，你必须努力；为了宽容，你也必须努力。这样，你能够帮助他人成长，同时也一定能使你自己成长。
So to sum up,If we examine what Sherfu has said, we can see there's a need for deep investigation that may engender both alarm and hope. Alarm, when we first confront the situation. Hope, when it is viewed from outer, inner, and Buddha Dharma points of view. To be honest, a lot of what Sherfu is describing here is not pleasant, but he certainly didn't create these situations.We can be ostriches with our heads in the sand or practitioners with our eyes wide open.Sherfu's message is really one of hope and action. We can only deal with what we have been karmically handed. We shouldn't hallucinate problems that don't exist, like being overrun with immigrants, and we certainly shouldn't ignore problems that do exist, like global warming and problems with the environment. Of course, much of Sherfu's life and most of his writings were devoted to a deep understandingof the human condition and a deep understanding of and liberation from what we perceive to be suffering. Much of our practice is devoted to helping ourselves and others with these issues. issues. Shifu famously said that the universe may end, but his vows are limitless. Few of us may have that level of power and commitment, but all of us can keep learning, practicing, and doing what we can to improve ourselves and the world. Thank you very much.
最后师父在总结，最后我们可以看出师父这本书他讲到了我们有更需求是要来自省既要有希望又要看到警觉的地方，因为我们现在所面临的这个世界上的问题虽然不是很让人愉快，但师父并没有创造这些问题，而只是现实的要需要面对的。我们不能坐在像沙漠里的鸵鸟一样把头埋起来而不愿意面对这些问题。师父的信息是很明确的，我们要充满希望，我们也要采取行动。我们要敢于面对因为因果业力而留下来的这样一个环境，现实的环境的问题。但是呢，我们从师父的教导当中也知道，我们要对这种环境有一种认识，我们要需要不停的修行来帮助我们自己，也帮助周围的人来解决这些问题。就像师父的名言虚空有尽，我愿无穷。如果多一些人有师父这样的愿心和愿力的话，我们都可以不停的学习，不停的修行，尽我们最大的力量来提高我们自己，来帮助这个世界。我的讲座就到此结束。
Thank you all for coming.
谢谢大家。